Thank you for calling the California Department of Public Health Vital Records. Your call may be monitored for quality assurance purposes.
We'll do a thing called freedom.
Is you gonna press the flesh, Pappy? Do a little politicking?
I'll press your kiss, you little son bitch. You don't tell your Pappy how to cut the electorate. We ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
Warning. You're listening to the Agenda 31 podcast with Corey Ibe and Todd McGreevy. Agenda 31 exposes government fraud, theft, and deception. Agenda 31 endorses peaceful enforcement of the Bill of Rights by the people of the several states. Agenda 31 explains how United States citizens have forsaken their capacity to protect their own rights. Corey and Todd engage with local, state, and federal government on powerful issues of identity, property rights, law, oaths of office, taxation, privacy, and more. Their approach is rooted in the very specific legal foundation of state citizenship. Listeners of the Agenda 31 podcast are challenged to take the lowest risks with the highest rewards. Your hosts want to know, what's your strategy to make a difference? Due to the unique division of political authority in the United States, U.S. citizens are residents in every state and should not attempt to copy the strategies employed by the hosts of the Agenda 31 broadcast without first consulting legal counsel. Enjoy.
You are going to change America in a way that usually only war and fluoride can. War and fluoride can. War and fluoride can.
It's time for us to become private central banking heretics, to stop believing that this is the way life is supposed to be, because it isn't.
The courts said that there are clearly two governments in each state. We have a state government and a federal government.
Okay.
The state government that we see today is a franchise of the federal government, as I mentioned before, by voluntary consent of the people, but that doesn't mean the original state government doesn't exist.
Self-determination isn't for everybody.
Well, that's exactly the whole point. The 14th Amendment protects U.S. citizens from the several states, but provides no protection from the federal government.
U.S. citizens have several different qualities. One, under Title V, they're considered federal personnel. You can trace back the foundation of their identity to a document the government owns.
Wake up! A state-issued birth record is government property.
You know what? There's going to be 50 different ways to skin this cat.
Today, we don't know. We're like the hotel that checks you in but never checks you out.
That's not courage. That's a mafia-style sit-down to divvy up what's good for the bosses.
You know, you're going to have to shut up or I'm going to have you arrested.
Hey, how does it feel to be a Republican right now?
It's a hoax. It's a big hoax.
It's a little bit overreaching to think there's going to be 3,100 people trying to pay attention like we do.
Why don't we devalue Social Security numbers? Why not require financial institutions not to use Social Security numbers so that there's no longer the incentive to steal Social Security numbers?
The Social Security number is absolutely critical. We need them and we have to use them. But we have to treat them as an identifier.
Yes, we'll make slaves out of all of you.
Very much part of Agenda 21, in my humble opinion. It's a ramp up to a United Nations September convention that's coming. It's going to be Agenda 21 on steroids.
Yeah, California is crazy.
It is.
I mean, it's out of control.
The U.S. sitting senator is suggesting using RICO laws to be applied to global warming skeptics.
We're not policing the world. We're not policing the world. We're not policing the world. No, we don't have a military-industrial complex.
Only a state citizen can travel around without license plates, without registration, and without a driver's license, and not intend to break the law.
Because you can't have prosperity if you're constantly under the risk of a terrorist attack.
Who the government? Who the terrorists?
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Agenda 31. This is your co-host, Todd McGreevy, being joined by...
Corey Ibe.
Hi, Corey. Good in the morning to you.
In the morning, Todd.
I think our levels are a little high. I'm adjusting. I apologize. We are broadcasting live like we try to do every week. We missed a week last week. We apologize. This is episode 46 of Agenda 31. Today is Saturday, September 5, 2015. It is the bright and early time of around 6:30 a.m. on the left coast where Corey is broadcasting from, and I'm here on the mid-coast overlooking the banks of the Mississippi River. It's about 8:30 Central Saturday morning. If you're listening to this on the playback on the No Agenda stream, we welcome all the Gitmo slaves tuning in to the No Agenda stream, to the Agenda 31 podcast, and appreciate you carrying us on your stream in the morning to all you No Agenda listeners. Agenda31.org is the website. We encourage you to go there and subscribe for updates. And you can also subscribe via podcast, via the buttons on the right there, to the iTunes, RSS, or Android subscriptions. So, Corey, you've had some interesting dynamics occur in Irvine, California, recently.
Yeah. In the battle, I'm still on the battlefield, and one of the players in the sunflower seed incident is about to step off the battlefield.
That's fascinating. Yeah, for those that are new to the subject matter, what's Maggard's first name?
David.
David Maggard has been the chief of police in Irvine, California, touted as the safest city in America, according to some statistics that they're rolling out. And he was the former head of the California Police Chiefs Association, and he was also the subject of a restraining order that Corey filed almost 2 years ago in an effort to suss out the nature of the adversary, and that would be that he didn't have an oath of office on file, and subsequently the arrest authority for any of the people under him was non-existent. And it was Corey was trying to prove a very specific legal point, and I think he proved it extremely well. We're not 100% sure why Maggard has announced he's stepping down just this past week. Any more news on why he's getting off the battlefield, as you call it?
No, there was a second article in the newspaper that the only thing mentioned, really, the first article, when the announcement came out, that was August 28th, just said he wasn't available for comment. And the second article, which was, I believe, on September 3rd, just a couple days ago, said it was a dream job and that he's going to stay in Irvine with his family. And but there was no mention at all of why he was stepping down. Now, it is interesting to note that about 2 weeks ago, I contacted the presiding judge in Orange County. Yes. And brought up a few things. And something that I have to mention about that letter, you know what, Todd, did we actually post that letter on the website?
I'm going to check right now. This is the letter that you sent to the Superior Court.
Yeah, I sent it to the presiding judge. First off, I'm really not a gifted writer. And I'm much better working with my hands than writing. And what I did with this letter is I'll put together several drafts. And I usually name them, you know, if I'm doing a letter that's going to the presiding judge, I'll do the naming convention, letter to the judge, A. And then when I go back and revamp it, it'll be letter to the judge, B, C, D, all the different variations of it. So I can go back and look at it. And then when I finally get it to where I want it, I hit print. And I delete all the other versions of the letter.
You sent the wrong version?
I sent the wrong version. So it really is difficult to read as far as the coherence of it. You get the idea, but I did send the wrong version. However, the substance of it, looking at just the substance of what was included in the letter, is evidence of a felony. And that felony being that David Maggard had not been appointed by the city council, as is required by law for the type of city structure that Irvine is. And David Maggard knew he was not appointed by the city council. And to avoid a loss in the restraining order case, he filed his oath right before the hearing at the county recorder's office and the secretary of state's office. And that oath was a false document, which, according to the California penal code, filing of a false document is a felony. And the reason why that document was false is because at the very top of it, it says chief of police, oath of office. And David Maggard had not been appointed chief of police. So that went to the presiding judge.
So what was wrong with the letter you did send? Because it is posted, by the way, at episode 45.
If you read through it, there's nothing materially wrong. It's just the, a very close producer of the show told me it sounded like diarrhea of the mind in my syntax. So the way it was structured was just really pretty horrible. But what I was trying to do is put together something that's very complicated. There's several years of fighting going on, and keep it into a maximum of 2 pages of text. And that's something that I have a hard time doing because there's just so many different things going on. And to make it coherent and explain why a city government like Irvine that operates as a charter city, which means they can do almost anything they want as a charter city. But one thing they can't do is commit felonies. And so it was very, you know, for me and my skills, it was very difficult to write that up in a way that's coherent. It takes me a while to do it. And once I had finished it up, I saved the wrong version, printed it, and mailed it out without reading it a final time. I did all the reading on the computer.
I would respectfully submit that when you're going to throw down on the battlefield this hard with a chip, send it to me and the other producer before you send it out.
Have
another set
of
eyes look at it. I'm reviewing it again right now, and it was coming back to me. It was addressed to Glenda Saunders, the presiding judge, and it's up at episode 45. I don't think there's anything like hugely incorrect. There's nothing. Would you say there's any incorrect? Are there any things
no,
alleged
there's,
that are
there's
incorrect?
No, there's no material mistakes. There's nothing incorrect about it. It just some of the sentences are, you know, not structured properly. It looks like a third grader wrote it.
Well, anyway, let's move on beyond the style.
So
the style points you don't get for your letter. You sent this back in August. What was the date on this? It was August 11th.
Yes.
And
August 11th, that was sent off, and August 28th, it was reported in the paper that David Maggard was resigning.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if these were related, and I think it's important to point out, you know, we challenge listeners to Agenda 31, what's your strategy to make a difference? And we ask you to go for the lowest risk with the highest reward, and we've admonished and challenged everybody that dares to listen to this show. Simple things like, did you find out if your chief of police has an oath of office on file? Did you find out if your county sheriff has an oath of office on file? Have you looked into any just fundamental, rudimentary basics where you live? If you don't, and you're on Facebook all the time complaining, and you're sending emails around, and you're not really doing anything. You're just complaining. And so what is your strategy to make a difference? Corey has employed his strategy, I would say, near surgically here, and we can't certainly be 100% certain that this was the cause of Maggard's resignation. There is the theory that, hey, maybe he's going to emerge as a chief of police in San Diego or, you know, Vegas or, you know, who knows? You know,
yeah.
He might just have, you know, grabbed the next branch somewhere else to keep the game going.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me, although I did get a message from someone who works at the city, and I used to be friends with a few people from the city on Facebook, which I'm no longer friends with. Apparently, they deleted the friendship, but I was told that there is quite a bit going on at the city, and I've been engaged with numerous different jurisdictions over Irvine not appointing the chief of police correctly. And one of those was the chief of police who preceded David Maggard. He usurped the office of chief of police. He conspired with the former city manager to impersonate a peace officer and then just walked into a city council meeting and announced himself. The city manager and he Michael Burkow. They announced that he's the new city manager. Like they just brought in a, you know, they just brought somebody in, and the city council said, you know, who are you? Anyway, the Michael Burkow went on to work at LAPD, the Savannah Chatham, Georgia Police Department. We've covered that at the show. He also did some work for Boston, and then is now director of intelligence services for the United States Coast Guard. And if Burkow stated that he was chief of police in Irvine at all of those other places, he was lying on his applications. And
well, let's keep our eyes open for a resignation at the Coast Guard.
Well, that's what I'm looking for. I haven't gotten any news alerts or anything about Michael Burkow, but I have been in contact with the LAPD. I've requested a response from LAPD, the Savannah Chatham Police, Police Department. He was the chief of police there for a short period of time. I think his last day there was kind of indicative of how they felt about him. They gave him a parking ticket as he was resigning, which I thought was a little nod to their displeasure with his service. And somehow he ended up at the Coast Guard. I mean, it's just amazing to me. I think you brought it up a few episodes back, Todd, about this being perpetuating the myth in order to get somebody out. Just say, oh, yeah, he's great. You take him.
Yeah, it happens in corporate and business all the time where you just kick the can. You want to get rid of your bad egg in your shop. And so you don't we try not to practice this practice in our businesses. In fact, we have our staff sign a document that says that we can share whatever reality of their employment with us with their future employer, you know, and they concede to it. They can't come back at us for sharing something potentially negative. A lot of times
that's very intelligent, Todd. I mean, you're a very smart guy. As far as business, it never occurred to me to do that because I am aware how often businesses are afraid to say anything negative about former employees.
Yeah, and you know, there's code, if you will, when you talk to a fellow employer, and if they're closed mouth about the person and they really don't say anything, well, that's pretty much all you need to know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, either they're going to say something positive or, but this guy just gets the myth perpetuated. This Burkow guy to ascend to the, you know, one of the top positions within Homeland Security in the Coast Guard. And, you know, lo and behold, there's a, 16,000 pounds of cocaine seized off the coast of, I've heard it was the coast of Mexico, and I've heard it was the coast of California. Those are pretty close to each other, I guess. And, 4,000 pounds just went missing. I wonder how much an investigation will be done on that. You mentioned LAPD. He was there for a while. Was he chief at LAPD?
He was in the command structure. I think he was an assistant, or he was a deputy chief, and touted as being the first outsider to be recruited to that high of a level. He went directly from Irvine. Usurping the Irvine chief of police position was what appears to be really what launched his career. And he quickly left, and the city manager at the time, if you look at all the players, this was August of 2001, and all of the players that were involved in this, the people that were on the city council, the mayor at the time was Larry Agron, her name escapes me, the city manager, her name was Ann something, I don't have it in front of me, all of these people are just straight up communists. Larry Agron, he's the one that created a huge stir in Irvine by eliminating the sister city status that Irvine had and then seeking communist countries to have sister city status with. One of them was with Vietnam. And the local Vietnamese population that is in Garden Grove, boy, they are organized really quick. This was just a few years ago. And they created a huge protest down in Irvine.
Really? They were not for this?
Not at all, no. Because, a lot of those people had lived through what happens in a communist country. And Larry Agron is just straight up criminally insane. I don't know how else to put it. Well, Irvine has had some horrible people. One of the guys that they put in charge of the Great Park, which has been stolen from the people, absolutely stolen. This was something that was supposed to be on the order of a West Coast Central Park. I mean, it was a huge piece of property, absolutely beautiful, part of the former military base in El Toro. And it's just been turned into a little tiny piss ditch of a park. And the rest of it is all homes.
All kinds of stories on the net about that and in publications. It's been a debacle of the highest order. And it sounds like the people that were involved with Burkow were involved with that as well. So there's a trail of corruption there in Irvine. Well, let's hope that that they turn over a new leaf with Maggard's departure. It seems like they're going to appoint, they being the city administrators, yet again, according to the Orange County Register article you sent me, Corey, they're just going to appoint another one, just repeat their same mistake.
Well, I don't think they're going to repeat the same mistake. It does seem to me that the city manager has the authority to pick a director of public safety. That I don't dispute at all.
Yep.
And that what the city council does is they'll have the city manager pick whoever's going to be the new chief of police. But the city council has to publicly appoint that person. And I have been in contact with the city, and they told me they're not sure exactly when that appointment will happen, but it will definitely happen. And I've been told that I'll be notified of it because I'd like to be there for that public appointment. So I want to go be in the audience when the city council actually does appoint a chief of police, because the last two chiefs, there has not been a publicly appointed chief of police in the city of Irvine since August of 2001. That's a long time for a city to be operating without authority to exercise its power.
Without necessarily revealing your sources, who at the city is telling you this?
Yeah, I don't want to reveal that. It's somebody who is a... They're not on the city council, but they work directly with the city council.
Well, that's incredible development in Irvine. That's a big effing deal that Maggard is resigning. And let's pay close attention to where he may land. Of course, we don't really wish ill will on anybody out there, but he has put the people of Irvine and California in danger by fraudulently occupying that position. We've talked about it at length. You know, if somebody wanted to go back on his on their arrest, they're sitting in jail for a real crime where there was an injured party, and that a smart attorney could figure out a way to say, hey, this guy wasn't properly appointed. He wasn't the chief of police. The arrest that happened was without arrest authority. That could unravel a lot of problems.
And it sure can. Yeah.
If you trying to button it up.
If between Maggard's departure and August of 2001, if you got a parking ticket, a traffic ticket, drunk driving ticket, if you were arrested or charged with any type of crime in Irvine, you have standing to get that removed and get your money back. I mean, it could be a huge mess for
Irvine.
Even
as a U.S. citizen?
My interpretation of the Supreme Court case,
Canning?
My brain's just...
Canning?
Yes. Noelle Canning versus National Labor Relations Board is such that Irvine right now is operating, you know, the same way as McDonald's. And if McDonald's came in and arrested you and you're not an employee of McDonald's and they try and take your money and everything, they have no standing. Irvine is no different than any other type of corporation because it does not have any authority to exercise its municipal powers because it failed to appoint a chief of police. And arrest authority flows from the state through the chief of police to the police officers. In a city government where you have a chief of police, the police officers themselves, and we've seen this many times on the different responses that we've received from Irvine, that city police officers, they don't act on their own authority. They're not like a sheriff or a sheriff's deputy. They don't have inherent arrest authority. They do everything. All of their authority is from the chief of police, and they act as an agent of the chief of police, who is a officer of the state. And without that chief of police, the city has no arrest authority. And what cities like Irvine have done is they've created this bastard form of government called a charter city. And we've had some terrible problems with charter cities in California because it gives them almost, not quite, but almost plenary power to do anything they want. And the city of Bell, you can just Google city of Bell here in California. very small little city that under a vote where, if I recall correctly, about 200 people voted on it. It became a charter city, and all of a sudden, people are in there just raping the city treasury. And a few people went to jail over that. They were towing huge amounts of cars, and it was the police themselves that turned, you know, dropped the dime on the city because it was just a bunch of criminals running it. And it's the same thing with Irvine. They became a charter city, and they tried to say over and over again that, oh, we're a charter city and the city manager can do anything he wants. We don't have to appoint a chief of police. Well, that is incorrect. That's one thing a charter city cannot do. If they operate as a council manager form of government like Irvine does, they have to appoint a chief of police via the city council.
Well, it sounds
and
like
if they decide to operate as an alternative form of government, they still have to appoint a chief of police. But in an alternative form of government, the city manager is allowed to do that as long as they filed the paperwork correctly with the Secretary of State to disclose that they're operating as an alternative form of government. And the city council annually has to appoint the city manager to run the affairs. Irvine didn't do any of that.
So even in the branch districts of the federal government, which is what municipalities are, they're rules they have to follow, and they're not following them in Irvine.
No, they're not following them in quite a few cities. I've found that this seems to be, you know, we've talked many times about the communist takeover that is warned about in the government code here in California. Mm-hmm. And city governments are very, very susceptible to that type of an attack. And I've, in my contacting Ronark Park, I've found that Ronark Park has a very similar problem. Their police officers are not taking the proper oath. The oath is worthless that they're subscribing to. It's not what is prescribed by law. It's something that they just kind of made up. And I do have to give them credit. I spoke with the city attorney in Ronark Park last week, and he was completely unaware, one, that even the oath of office is public. Originally, they tried to say that, no, that's private. We don't have to give that out. And I engaged with them on that issue, and they did disclose the oath of office of the officer that I was inquiring about. And once I got that, I found that it's an incorrect oath, and the city attorney did contact me, and we discussed it, and you know, he assured me that they will address the issue. So,
yeah, this is going back to the Ronart Park incident where the cop brandished his weapon in a driveway with the guy hooking up his boat. We played the video for it. The guy was completely out of line, and you took some action to kind of spike some awareness about this. You posted a YouTube video about some documents you sent. You tried to notify the FBI. You tried to notify the county clerk there to ask for these oaths. And I'm looking at the first one they sent you was a generic oath with no signature, no filing or anything like that. Now, the other one you sent just now is the oath of office of David Rodriguez, the so-called oath. And,
yeah.
And if we can post it. It's a public document.
Yeah, it's a public document. The oath that that they sent was the generic oath, and that's the oral oath. That's the oath where you just stand there and you hold your hand up and you swear that between you and God, you're going to uphold the Constitution. The subscribed oath of office is different. So the subscribed oath of office has it is a promise. It's not a question, and that's a big difference. So
because this oath starts with, "Do you,
exactly,
David Rodriguez, yes, solemnly swear that you will support and defend?" And it goes on with that, and it does. It's incorrectly even formed. Doesn't even have a question mark at the end.
Right.
It does. If they wanted to even use this format, they're doing it incorrectly because there's no answer. There's no place that Rodriguez says, "I hereby do." You know, it's really poorly formed. I agree. And it was filed in the city of Ronart Park Human Resources.
Yeah, well, that's the proper place for a police officer's oath to be filed is at the Human Resources Division.
Ah, okay.
But the if you compare that to, in fact, I'll send you the link right now, Todd, so you can see it. The prescribed oath of office, what is supposed to be said, is under the California Constitution, It's Article 20, Miscellaneous Subjects. And this is the 1879 Constitution. Half of this oath, the wording of it, has been struck down by the Supreme Court. So the first portion of it, which it looks like kind of two paragraphs, it's under Article 20, Section 3. It says, I, and then you fill in the name, it would be David Rodriguez, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution. It goes on that way. Now, that's very different from, do you support the Constitution? And he doesn't answer it. He just is signing a question. So an oath of office, the subscribed oath of office, is the highest level of contract. It's on the order of a deed. So it must be done correctly. If the deed to your home is done incorrectly, you might not own your home. It can be a really serious defect. So if the deed to a public servant honoring the Constitution is defective, that deed, that oath of office, that social contract may not be binding. And so that can cause some real problems for any city that doesn't have it. But it also can cause problems because, you know, obviously a guy walking around pulling his gun out for somebody hooking up their boat. And then what got me was the officer said, what, are you some kind of constitutionalist crazy guy?
Yeah.
You know, for just filming a cop. That shows that there has been a complete just failure of the people to instill the importance of what it means to put your autograph on an oath of office. When you subscribe to a oath, that is the highest order of contract. If you violate that oath, history shows that you can be put to death. That's how serious this document is. So it's incredibly important to get it right.
So this guy Rodriguez is running around like a hotshot, brandishing his weapon, thinking he's, you know, got some kind of authority, and he's not even properly subscribed.
He has no authority to carry a gun as a police officer because he's not subscribed to an oath of office. Yeah. That's what I brought up to the city manager. And based on their response to me, I got the sense that they really are trying to get it right. These were the city attorney that I spoke to has not been there very long, and we had a great conversation. He was very polite. Was genuinely interested in, at least he appeared to be, he sold me on him being genuinely interested, that they want to get it right. And to me, that's much more important than trying to go after him for not having it. I'd much rather have him fix it and get it right than go through the type of battle we went through with Irvine to get somebody removed.
Preventative maintenance, we call it.
Yes.
In the past. You know, the webs that are woven in California are amazing, Corey. We've mentioned L.A. I've got a piece I want to talk about here real quick. We've talked about Ted Rall, R-A-L-L. He's a cartoonist and a columnist. He was fired by the L.A. Times in the last 6 weeks. He'd been a columnist there for 3 or 4 years, and they published his cartoons, of which I publish in the newspaper that we publish, the River City's Reader. He's a satirist, political satirist with the kind of, you know, very cutting edge. And the reason I like him is that he makes both progressives and so-called conservatives angry. He pisses everybody off. So that's why I like his cartoons.
Yes.
A lot of people don't like him. They find him distasteful. Well, it's anyway, it is what it is. Rawl has been openly critical of the LAPD over the years. And he recently was fired under the auspices of writing a column and talking about his arrest in 2001 for jaywalking. He was arrested in 2001. He was handcuffed for jaywalking. He made these claims. And out of nowhere, the L.A. police came forward with the audio from 2001 to the L.A. Times and said, here, listen to the audio. He's lying. And the L.A. Times fired him.
Yes.
Well, since then, he's gotten the audio file enhanced and, you know, forensically dealt with. And, you know, if you can listen to it, you can just search it out for Ted Rawl audio, you know, forensics, you'll find it immediately. Clearly you hear people saying, take the handcuffs off. And it turns out, I didn't know this, Corey, but apparently there's quite a industry of LA police ticketing and handcuffing people for jaywalking. There's all kinds of videos out there of this happening all the time. So that is what it is. And he's, you know, belabored the point almost ad nauseum, he being Ted, you know, created great fodder for his column and his cartoon. And I was getting a little bit, you know, tired of hearing about it. And then he posted a column about Austin Buettner, the L.A. mayor.
Yes.
And I just find it fascinating what he posted. He says Buettner is a like mega wealthy, you know, guy who's involved with hedge funds and private equity groups and all kinds of stuff.
Did you just say he's the mayor? Because he's not the mayor in L.A.
Oh, he wants to be the mayor. That's right.
He wants to be the mayor. Yeah.
Mix and imaginary. Yeah. I apologize. Buettner is the publisher of the L.A. Times. He's the publisher.
Yes.
And he wants to be mayor. That's right. He ran for mayor once. He wants to run again. But meanwhile, what Rawl sussed out is that it says Buettner appears to have ties with the Los Angeles Police Department and its police union, the Los Angeles Police Protective League, the LAPPL, whose $18.4 billion pension fund is managed by Oak Tree Capital, the Beverly Hills private equity firm that happens to be the principal stockholder of Tribune Publishing, the parent company of the LA Times.
Imagine that.
I just find that to be eminently fascinating, that the publisher of the LA Times, his parent corporation, is the pension fund manager for the Los Angeles Police Department's union.
Yeah.
Gee, there's no potential conflict of interest there in a city with 10,000 cops.
Yeah, there's almost 10,000 police. Now, that sounds like a lot of police, but there's, you know, there's estimates that there's about 12 million people that they have to police. I mean, it's a huge city because there's so many people that are here undocumented.
12 million is big. Regardless, I think, again, it is another example of what are you doing, where you live, what's your strategy to make a difference. Maybe you should look into the parent corporation of the daily paper where you live. The consolidation of these publications has been very active in the last 10 years. A lot of big parent companies own a handful of parent companies own a lot of the daily papers in America. And gee, if Oak Tree Capital happens, if your daily paper is a Tribune publishing company, then its primary stockholder is Oak Tree Capital. According to Rawl, I have to go check into all this still and confirm all this, but I just find it really, I think it's a smoking gun. He goes on to say, well, Buettner, the publisher of the LA Times and the LA Police Union, do tend to turn up in the same list of political contributors, and both belong to something called the 2020 Commission, one of those forward-looking, we're in charge, do what we say, elite-a-thons. Buettner has long received favorable coverage by the police union's blog, and the Times has laid off many street reporters and relies more than ever for story tips from the LAPD. So, you know, I guess I'm not telling a new tale. If you've ever watched the movie L.A. Confidential, the sordid corruption within the police department there is long and well documented.
Yeah, and you know it seems to me that the chief, Charlie Beck, that he regularly puts himself in a position that he wants to do the right thing. But when you have forces like the police union, constantly, the police union, they're being found in all sorts. A few years ago in Costa Mesa, it was the police union that was following a political opponent around who had been critical of the police department and had also mentioned that maybe it would be better for the city if the sheriff took over policing duties in Costa Mesa. And investigators who were former police officers working for the police union, they began to follow this the city council member around. And after he left a bar, they made several calls to report a drunk driver, and it turned out the only thing he had drank was a Diet Coke. He doesn't drink any alcohol at all, and they were doing their best to get him arrested and tried to make a big deal about him being arrested for drunk driving. And you know, you find the police union to be, at least I should say, I find the police union to regularly be acting no different than just a bunch of criminal thugs And
well,
and
they're also backed by, in LA, an $18 billion pension fund.
Oh, that's a massive amount of money.
It's just
that
really,
now controls the largest newspaper in LA, the LA Times.
Yeah, which so you know, I think Ted Rawl, to you know, while he may have not had a great experience getting fired, I don't think he would have uncovered this little nugget if he hadn't been fired. So all things,
yeah,
for a reason. I've been promising to talk about this for the last few episodes and have not gotten to it yet. And I want to talk about the same-sex license to marry discussion that's been going on down in Tennessee. Are you familiar with this, Corey?
I'm not.
Well, there's a woman, and I'm going to get some of the details wrong as I riff live on here, but the macro picture is that there's a county clerk that refuses to provide licenses for gay couples.
I misheard what you said. Yes, I'm absolutely aware of this. Yeah.
Based on, you know, her religious beliefs. So I'm just going to play this clip. We're going to talk about this.
And I also have the Supreme Court ruling, and I want to be kind of very specific with the language that's in this ruling. And if you just give me a minute.
Well, we reached out to the Rowan County Clerk, Kim Davis, for a response to this story. So far, we haven't heard back. But this is what she told the Lexington Herald-Ledger about her refusal to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Here's the quote. My conscience will not allow me to issue a license for a same-sex couple because I know that God ordained marriage from the very foundation of this world to be between a man and a woman. David Moore and David Ermold are joining me now on the phone, and with a welcome to you both. I know last week the ACLU filed a lawsuit on behalf of both two straight and two same-sex couples. This was against the Rowan County Clerk, Kim Davis, because she's refusing to issue these marriage licenses. Look, you guys took every step you could. You wrote to the governor. You let them know in advance, hey, heads up, we are coming to get our license. So what were your expectations when you got to that office? I'll go to you first, David Moore.
Well, we knew that people had already been denied, and we went down to see what, you know, what would happen. We kind of already knew it was going to happen, but we thought maybe she would change her mind. If I could talk to her face to face, maybe somehow that would change her mind.
Okay. David Ermold, I'm going to call you Dave, and I know before you reached the counter, Dave, you had an interaction with another county employee. Let's take a look at that.
Are you all wanting a marriage license?
Yes.
Okay. We do not sell marriage licenses in this county. You can go to our surrounding counties.
Why do you not sell them?
To assist you with that.
Why don't you sell them?
Okay.
Why are you issuing
We'd rather wait our turn and come up and speak to you one-on-one.
Okay, that's fine. You can go to our surrounding counties, okay?
We'd rather wait and come up and speak to you personally. Thank you.
Dave, were you told a flat-out lie when they said that they don't issue marriage licenses in that county?
As it stands right now, they stopped issuing marriage licenses after the Supreme Court ruling. So really, they stopped issuing licenses to both same-sex couples and heterosexual couples. But it's based on the issuance of them being given to same-sex couples. So to me, that's still some question there. Before the Supreme Court ruling, they were issuing licenses out to heterosexual couples.
Okay. David, I know that you did speak with the county clerk, Kim Davis. She didn't want to talk to you on camera, but apparently you talked off camera. What'd she say?
You know, I asked her why she couldn't do it, and she told me the creation story of Adam and Eve, that God created it to be one man, one woman, that he was made from Adam's rib, and that she could not do it. I then asked her what the harm would be if she signed her name on this. What is the thing she is worried about happening if she does this? And she told me that she was worried about her own salvation and her own soul.
And Dave, I know yesterday the Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear released a statement, and reading in part, while there are two or three county clerks still refusing to perform their duties, the rest of the county court clerks are complying with the law regardless of their personal beliefs. The courts and the voters will deal appropriately with the rest. How do you think these clerks who are defying the law should be dealt with, Dave?
Well, personally, I think that they should be held accountable for their actions. They swore an oath to office to uphold the Constitution. It wasn't the other way around. They didn't swear on a Bible to uphold. They swore on the Bible to uphold the Constitution, not on the Constitution to uphold the Bible, if that makes sense to you. So it's kind of a little offensive to me. I think as far as the video is concerned, it's the overall treatment that we received all together that day.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of yelled across the room from one of the clerks and just kind of the in and out of everything. I think that's kind of what has people's attention, as well as obviously the denial of the license.
Yeah. David, very quickly, you guys have been together 17 years. As we heard in the video, you've owned property in Rowan County for a decade. Are you going to go to a different county to get a license now?
No, we're going to get a license in Rowan County. It will happen. And that's what we're going to do.
Okay. Well, we will look forward to hearing from you when it does. David.
They've been together 17 years, Corey, yet they still want to seek permission to be a union.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a comment on the clerk as well. I mean, she is sitting in jail right now for contempt of court.
Yep.
Based on her religious beliefs. And it really shows that where she works and the form of government that she is operating in, that by itself, she shouldn't even be working there. If her beliefs are such that she's not going to issue a marriage license to a gay couple, this just shows she doesn't, one, either understand the Bible very well, or she doesn't understand the jurisdiction that she works in. And we've brought up many times how that jurisdiction views man and animal as the same. You know, you can just Google the term man or other animals. And in the Bible, there's a very powerful verse that I remember as a kid being, told this quite a few times, that I need to think and need to be different than an animal. And that is 2 Peter 2:12, I think it is. That scripture refers to a group of people who operate like unreasoning animals born as creatures of instinct that can be captured or killed, and that they have no knowledge of it, and that in their destruction, not only the wild beasts, but those people will be killed as well. And she operates, just the fact that she is issuing marriage licenses and claiming to have a very strong religious belief, there, that is incompatible in itself.
Yeah. Well, I'm fascinated by we've talked about this in the past, that when people claim that they are the birth record, all right,
yes,
then they have conscribed themselves into U.S. citizenship, which means that the federal government has exclusive jurisdiction whatsoever over you. Your rights are not protected from being violated by the federal government. The federal government can use its own discretion and protect your rights from a state government, one of the several states. That's what the 14th Amendment is all about. But when you raise your hand and say, yeah, I have a first, middle, last name, I am that first, middle, last name, I am that birth record, give me this piece of plastic called a driver's license. You know, give me this student loan. Register me to vote as the birth record. Well, the other one is the marriage license. There's another contract of adhesion that many of us have been duped into subscribing to. And, you know, I find this whole marriage license thing just like the birth certificate controversy over Obama. It's really good theater, and it's really smart for the powers that be that understand that we want people to think that the marriage license has value, and that the marriage license is important, that you should have one. You should do whatever you can to get one. And these guys, this couple, just are unwittingly don't even understand. They're just continuing to just put themselves right into the jurisdiction that can actually tell them what to do.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Just being a creature of instinct, you know. And yesterday, just a real quick side note to that, had a conversation with someone who was not happy with my political views. They felt it was very offensive, and he said, well, you don't believe our courts have any authority, and, you know, made a few comments that way. And I just said, well, you know, if you're a U.S. citizen, then your citizenship is born out of slavery. Literally, that's where U.S. citizenship comes from. It was born out of slavery, not out of freedom. And that's where the whole idea of U.S. citizenship comes from slavery. And it's just fascinating to me how the powers that be have been able to convince an entire nation of free people to accept willingly and then defend this form of citizenship.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great way to put it. I've typed that in. That could be the title for this blog post in this episode, U.S. Citizenship is Born Out of Slavery. This whole controversy over the same-sex marriage just makes everybody, you know, defend the license. I love the word, we don't sell those here.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was interesting. You hear you issue a license. Well, they a little slip of the tongue. Yeah, we're actually just selling this stuff.
Right.
You know, you don't really need one. You know, we're just selling them, you know.
Right.
Just happen to sell these little pieces of paper that you dimwittingly filled out and continue to state that you are an ens legis entity, a creature of law that the government owns. It's just amazing. That's you know, the other thing I've started restarted, if you will, saying with people when I'm talking about these issues is you said this to me one time, you know, you think about a English degree. You go to college, you get an English degree, right? You have the certificate in your hand that you graduated and you have an English degree. So
yes,
you can say, I have an English degree, but you don't say, I am an English degree. You
right.
don't say that, right? So
right.
why would you say, I am a U.S. citizen versus I have U.S. citizenship? Because as one
exactly.
of the people of the several states, you have U.S. citizenship because you are a state citizen of California. California is one of the several states of the union. And as that union exists, there is United States citizenship that you have or possess, but you are not a U.S. citizen. And it was the 14th Amendment and the post-Bloody Civil War that bore out this concept of U.S. citizenship, that you are a U.S. citizen.
Yes.
And I think referring back to that English degree, science degree, you know, art degree, whatever you want to call it, you know, I have an art degree. Well, I don't go around saying I am an art degree. I think that's a good way to approach
yeah.
it. And to try and get people to understand it. Corey, we're going to make this a short episode this week.
Sure.
I've got a quick note
yeah. on something.
Please.
Just to get out there.
Yeah.
This refers to Toilet Brown. You know, the infrastructure in California is just falling apart. Literally, bridges falling. The roads are the second to the worst roads in the nation. We pay more per gallon in fuel taxes than any other state that I'm aware of. You know, the fuel prices here are $3.80, $3.90 a gallon, where everywhere else in the country it's $2 a gallon, $2.30 a gallon. And all of those taxes have been repeatedly sold as a way to fix the roads. And now California is $65 billion behind in road repairs because the government constantly creates this tax, sells it as a way to fix the roads, and then they divert that into welfare and all these other different things that they give away, and the roads don't get fixed. Well, now Jerry Brown has proposed an additional 6 cents per gallon on gas, 11 cents per gallon on diesel, and a $65 flat tax per car on top of the crazy registration fees that everyone pays already. I'll put the link up for this, but it is just a selling point that if you're tired of it, the government is allowed to do this. This has been upheld over and over and over again, that they're allowed to act this way in that federal jurisdiction that operates in the 1879 Constitution. My automobile is not subject to this $65 per car rate. And then, you know, as far as the gas tax, I propose that there will be a legal fight coming up. I hope somebody else will stand up and start to do this as well. but the California government can't tax legally the several states. And so that's what's happening with this additional tax. They're putting it in at the very last bit of the legislature. I'm sure they're going to pass it.
Well, the toilet browns of the world get that they have these indentured servants. And, you know, what's the word in the 13th Amendment? Involuntary servitude.
He gets
that he has voluntary servants. They're read in. They understand, hey, all these people have driver's licenses. All these people claim that they are the Social Security record, that they are the birth record. So we get to treat them however we want. And we can make up excuses and we can claim that there's a drought and we can claim there's global warming and we can promote as much fear porn as we want. And we've got people like Buettner that run the LA Times to foment the fear. You know, this is all a racket. It's a big racket. He's under investigation in a RICO case right now for people dying because of the poisoning of the water table.
Yeah,
and you're right.
Just
Corey,
the other day as well, and poisoning the water table. One of the people that was fired, who held the position at Dodger, which is the Department of Gas and Oil Resources. Who was not issuing the permits as Toilet Brown wanted, they were fired. That person just came out and admits that, hey, there was huge pressure to waive and relax those standards. This is coming from the guy who's saying that we need to cut gas use in California by 50%, and they're going to force us to do it. Meanwhile, he's poisoning the aquifers. I mean, absolutely working to get rid of any safeguards to protect our water system here, and then also deny people access to gas, making billions by exporting fuel and resources and putting more and more what he calls global pollution into the air. He's done more than any other governor to do that.
Well, Corey, some people
anyway,
are waking
I want to
up
get those two points out.
Some
real
people
quick.
Are waking up in California. I think we're making small inroads, and you've been contacted by an individual who listened to the podcast and actually came forward and donated, a nice donation. And
yes,
and you've helped him with his common law ID. On the next episode of Agenda 31, this is episode 46 on September 5th, 2015. I want to deconstruct that common law ID. I sent you a note about it. There was a few nuances that were used in that common law ID that I think we should riff on.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, and it's encouraging to see people stepping up out there that are listening to this. We really encourage you to hit the donate button at agenda31.org. This is a little bit, goes a very long way. And we also encourage you to listen to the No Agenda show on the No Agenda stream. Who's playing back this episode. We appreciate them doing that. You can listen to Curry and Dvorak on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Central, Sundays at 11 a.m. Central, and after that show, you'll hear Corey and I on the Agenda 31 broadcast, podcast. Pick which one you like. But please go to Agenda 31, hit the donate button, and subscribe to us on iTunes and Android. Until next time, everybody, ask yourself, what is your strategy to make a difference? Take care.
No more hatred and votes across my mind.
agenda31.org.